Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Buying a home is such an enormous step. Whether it is your first or your fifth, it is a big step, especially now with house prices at all-time highs. It's kind of hard to come to that decision, feel good about that decision. It's one thing to know how to buy or sell a home, but it's also so important to understand how to manage your money once you become a homeowner. Romana King is a personal finance journalist and real estate expert. She has written a book to help on that very question. It is called House Poor No More, 9 Steps That Grow the Value of Your Home and Net Worth. She's in North Vancouver today. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce.
Disclosure. I wrote the foreword. I know of this book. I believe in this book. I believe in the message you have to deliver. And I believe in your wisdom and credibility as a journalist. So first of all, your title declares that it is possible. It asserts that it is possible to be house poor no more. How can that be possible given the average price of anything anywhere in this country?
Oh, I know. And this is the big thing. And it's not this year or last year. We've been listening to this message for the last 10 years. And I think that the reason why I say it is possible, you know, I had someone once say to me, you can have anything, you can't have everything. Mm. And so that comes down to buying a home. If you want to buy a home, and you know, we know that numbers tell us that many, many people do, then you can have that. You can take that option, make that happen. But that means you're going to have, you know, maybe you're not those vacations every year. You're going to have to make trade-offs. So it is possible to do it. And it just means we need to be aware of that decision and just how to make that decision better for us, right?
Your answer to the affordability question was really depressing, accurate, but depressing. A mortgage of about 310 grand for a 2-income household. Let's say you have a 20% deposit. So you've got about 400 grand to spend. That will not buy you much anywhere near a big city. Does your book come with Prozac taped to the book jacket? Like, is the dose included?
No, they have to listen to you, Bruce, because you're very positive. Okay. And you can find a silver lining. What it does tell you, and what I do tell people, is people are buying in those. I mean, I bought in a high price city. You've bought in a high price city. People are buying in a high price city, even their first home. And yes, we have to do it a bit different. And yes, there have to be other considerations. And so you're starting to look at homes with mortgage helpers, or people are buying, renting in the city and buying in another city. And they rent out that, you know, the house that they own, they rent that out to someone else in order, you know, there's lots of different ways to do it. And that's what I actually talk about is, when you hear this idea that it's impossible to buy a home, I think it's this zero sum decision, like it's either smart or it's stupid. And I don't like that kind of decision. I think it sort of diminishes the desire and diminishes our decision to actually just become homeowners. So I kind of couch it in a way of like, listen, it is expensive. There are things you can do. You have to be realistic about, you know, the realities of it. But, you know, how are you going to supplement this? How are you going to make it happen?
The first lesson you learned about real estate, which you write about, was the fear of losing out is the worst reason to make a decision. That's really relevant today.
Yes.
In 3 sentences, how did you learn that lesson for what unfolded with your parents?
Well, my parents were educational immigrants, essentially people from England. They had nothing but an education and they wanted a better life for their kids. So they decided to come to Canada and they had nothing but, you know, to build a life. And so they literally scraped up enough. I believe at the time it was about $1,000 and they put that as a deposit. Yeah, I know. So such a small amount, right? They put a deposit on a house. And my father ended up actually losing that deposit. And then he ended up actually buying another house with a mortgage helper. He ended up losing that house because he didn't get the right information. And the fire chief was called and they said, you know, this is not a legal duplex. You can't have. So I saw very quickly, and unfortunately, you know, hard won lessons on my parents' part. I saw very quickly this fear of not, you know, wasn't even keeping up with the Joneses. It was, we want to give a better life to our kids. We're going to miss out and not be able to get in. And so the third house they bought was sort of their final house. That house had a lot more forethought. And my father did many, many different things. And one of the things he taught me was run the numbers, look at your budget, run the numbers again, really be realistic, and then make that decision knowing, eyes wide open, what you're getting yourself into.
One of the other areas where people really need to run the numbers is home renovations, because so often we get lulled into or entranced by the Corian countertops or whatever it is. And in your book, you talk about how to think through these renovations, and you have particular insight here because you're partnered with a contractor.
Yes. So
it's not only you as journalist, but you as spouse to contractor. What's the number one thing to keep in mind as you think about those renovations?
I would say the number one thing, and most people are asking, you know, is it a kitchen, a bathroom? I think the number one thing is we really need to stop this decision-based evidence building. So I made a decision that I don't like my kitchen and I want to renovate it. So then I go out and I find the evidence to support that. And I'm like, stop.
That's the way I live life. Come on.
Right? Most of us actually do. It's almost intuitive because it's a very fast way of making decisions. But when it comes to renovations, and you know, we know the horror stories of having contractors bail on us, or, you know, the contract doesn't bail on us, but things, you know, get out of hand and the price escalates. So in order to avoid those shocks, what do we need to do? We need to do our research, which means stop, take your time, look at it. And one of the big things that I say is you can renovate for purely personal pleasure. So it's not because you want to add value and you have to find the evidence to prove it. You just have to look at your numbers and say, listen, I'm going to stay in this home for the next 10, 15 years, and I'm going to justify the next 10 or 15 years for loving this kitchen in that time. And it probably will end up giving me some money back, so higher value in my house, but I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm doing it because I know I can afford it. It fits my financial budget. So I would say that's the number one thing people have to look at. I think the number two for renovations is, anytime you're going to do a renovation, whether it's for personal pleasure or not, a smart renovation, a renovation that's going to add the most value to your home, is a renovation that solves a problem. You know, and every single time we've looked at a house, whether it's a client's house or our own house, if the renovation solves a problem, almost every single time we've had a higher value on that home because the home fits. It makes sense to people. People walk in and say, everything is done. Everything's done. I don't need to do anything. They thought about this. They did this. Oh, this works. And when you have those problem-solving renovations, of course your home is going to attract more value.
We looked at a house once when we were buying in Calgary, and it had a toilet in the middle of the master bedroom. No walls. And it was a carpeted master bedroom. Yeah. I can't even, it's one of those things you can never unsee.
Right? Like, how do you even describe, like, I had to go to the toilet, honey.
How is that acceptable in any marriage? No. You talk about, and what I think is so great about the work that you've done here is the holistic view of where a house fits, not just within a financial plan, but within your well-being writ large. It seems that people take that, though, to mean buying a house is key. End of discussion, law of gravity, thou shalt buy. When does it make sense to rent?
I think it makes sense to rent when you know that you can actually save the money that you would pay on housing expenses if you bought, and use that to build up your nest egg. So by and large, if you look at housing versus stock markets, if you're looking at just pure returns, so just from purely investment point of view, the stock market is always going to win, has for decades. The problem we have, though, is that very expensive cities, you know, I was just talking to a girlfriend about this, the rent isn't cheap. So you don't save any money by renting. And that's why you have people pushing to try and get into the property market, even in expensive areas, because you can't save that much. But I do think there is an argument that if you're not 100% settled in the community or in the house or in the family that you're in, if you think that you want more flexibility, or if you really know yourself well and know that you can save in a disciplined fashion, so you can take this money you save and put it into investments, I think renting makes a lot of sense.
Well, what makes a lot of sense is your book. And I congratulate you on its launch. And I thank you for joining us to talk about it today.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
Ramona King is the author of House Poor No More, 9 Steps That Grow the Value of Your Home and Net Worth. And there's so much in here. Something called the Smith Maneuver. We didn't have time to talk about it, but there are so many ideas in this book. Check it out.